When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, it's that time of the week for another round of Ask Floss. I know I say it every time, but thank you so much for your continued support across everything I do. It really does mean the world to me. And one of my favourite things to do is answer all of your burning questions that you send in for me. I love giving advice on your dilemmas and helping where I can. Okay, let's get started with your first question. Can you explain why I dislike and feel jealous towards my ex-boyfriend's girlfriend? I'm in a happy new relationship myself and can't understand why I feel this way. I think it must be the direct comparison, right? It's your ex-boyfriend's current girlfriend. You're in a happy relationship yourself. You spent so much intimate time with this man, and now he's having an intimate time with someone else. I think it's natural to at least be curious about what that's like, whether it's different, blah, 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 blah. It gets annoying when it becomes an obsession, though. And that's when you're checking her socials all the time, you're comparing yourself to her, you're creating arguments in your head about blah, 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 blah. I think it's very natural and normal, particularly with the window of insight that we now have with social media. Before, you would just hear that your ex-boyfriend's moved on, cry a little bit, grieve it, and move on. But now you get to watch it. And not to mention also that it won't be entirely how it's being presented online. So you're only getting the fabricated highlight reel version of their relationship. Like you said, you're in a relationship yourself. I don't really have any answers as to why you feel this way. I can only muse my thoughts. And that's that you're directly comparing yourself to someone who was once in your position. And I think it's normal to at least compare. It's just not healthy to dwell on it. Try to remind yourself and practice rewiring your brain to look at the positives of leaving him, that you found this new relationship and that you found this new person. Okay, on to the next question. Hi, Florence. My name is Amber. I'm a bisexual feminist and you're my biggest idol. I love you so much. Thanks, Amber. Love you too. How did you start your career as an influencer? What was your first move and how did you become so huge? Thank you for your time. So I never set out to be an influencer. I just used Instagram to put my artwork on there. And I started that when I was 17 or 18. I started putting my illustrations online. Then I started talking to camera and talking about my opinions and sharing those online as well, because I did one video of it and then people started to listen to what I had to say. And I found that I was actually really good at articulating a lot of the stuff that I wanted to express in my illustrations. I just kept putting my stuff online and people started sharing it. But when I first started sharing my artwork online, I would send them to feminist Instagram pages and they would share my illustrations and expose them to a much wider audience. And I think I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing now if it wasn't for other pages sharing my work. That's what happens. It's the nature of the internet is how stuff goes viral, right? I very much view Instagram now, and particularly Instagram, but any social media app, as my springboard for all of the long-term creative projects that I want to do, such as Exactly Podcast and my books. Okay, on to the next question. Do you like Arctic Monkeys? I fucking love the Arctic Monkeys. I don't know their entire discography. I know a few of the main songs. It's a bit like me with David Bowie. Yes, do I like David Bowie, but have I delved into his entire discography? No. And I think it's because if I start, I won't be able to stop. So it's almost like this cave of music and information that I'm not ready to get lost in yet. And one day I will. Okay, on to the next question. How did you come out to your parents? I went home for Christmas 4 years ago and told my mum that I had a date with a girl from my hometown. And she was like, cool. And that was it. I did have a little coming out moment before that with her. And I didn't come out to my dad. My mum just told him. It was a lot easier that way. Okay, next question. Do you still get sad sometimes? Yes, and I fucking hate this question because it's like, of course I get sad. I'm a human being. I cry, I get sad, I feel rejected, I feel jealous, I feel angry. Of course I feel sad. I'm a human being. I feel the entire human spectrum of emotions. I just don't show that on social media. I'm not going to cry on camera. I'm not going to show my extreme vulnerabilities with the world, because my personal relationship with my emotions and my personal life is very private to me, and I don't share a lot of my feelings or what's going on. That's for my friends and close and trusted people in my life. But yeah, of course I get fucking sad. I get sad. I miss people. I feel jealous. I compare myself, you know, but I'm just very resilient. I'm very resilient, and I'm really good at getting over things and moving on and acquiring wisdom from situations instead of allowing myself to feel defeated by them in the present. Okay, on to the next question. Is Girl Crush loosely based on your life? No, Girl Crush is entirely fictional, but I have written what I know, and that's about the industry. It's about heartbreak. It's about being ghosted. It's about ghosting people, and it's about all of these really intense emotions. Okay, on to the next question. Can you recommend any podcast that you're currently listening to? Yes, we're listening to Brené Brown Unlocking Us, and there's this one episode on this podcast called The School of Greatness, where this guy called Lewis Howes interviews Lisa Nichols, and she is one of the most empowering women I've ever listened to. I think it was an episode on an abundance mindset. Yeah, listen to that episode. It's cracking, and it gets me in the mood every time to just do whatever I need to do with my life. Okay, on to the next question. Hi Floss, I'm in a bisexual relationship and my girlfriend is ashamed to hold my hand in public. It really upsets me. How do I approach this conversation with her? First of all, no wonder it upsets you. That is so heartbreaking. Particularly for me, physical affection is so important, and for someone to be proud to be with me, that matters a lot to me as well. And I don't think I would have the I wouldn't be able to be in that situation. It would break my heart to be with someone who didn't want to hold my hand. So I completely understand why you feel that way. And I think that most people, if not all people, would feel exactly the same in your situation. So I just want you to know that how you feel about the situation is valid. I would ask your girlfriend what it means to her to hold your hand in public. You know, are you going to hold her hand? She's pulling away. Because then that's a whole other thing. That's humiliating for people to see that happen to you. So there's that element to it as well. Have you had a conversation where she said, look, I'm not out to people yet. This is the situation. And if that is the situation, you need to think about whether you can accept that. But there is someone, right? There is someone out there who would fucking snog your face off in public. So keep that in mind. If this doesn't work for you, if someone's too embarrassed to show their affection in public, of course, it depends where you live. You do live in a homophobic town and it's actually quite, you know, scary to be seen being gay in public, then that's a conversation you can have with your girlfriend to understand it more. You know, it might not be anything to do with you, and it might be all to do with the fact that she's afraid of being hate crimed on the fucking street. So I would talk to her and ask her what it means to her and how it means a lot to you to be shown and be adored in public. Okay, next question. Who was your gay awakening? I remember there was a sex scene in James Bond with a woman. I can't remember her name. Maybe it was Penelope Cruz. I can't remember. And it turned me all the way on. Also Billy Piper when I was very young in Doctor Who. I think Billy Piper might have been my sexual awakening. Yeah, I had a dream about Billy Piper when I was very young. Also just girls I fancied in school. But I put it down to just, you know, an obsession with my female friends. But it was definitely a lot more than that. Okay, on to the next question. When was your last reminder that humans are good? Let me think. There's everyday gorgeous little acts of kindness that people do, but I want to think of something really wonderful. Oh my God. So 2 nights ago, I was in a pub garden and a man was sat on my bench. He was about over 6 foot. He's very tall and he was sat on my bench and he was looking at me and my friends. I just thought he was a guy who probably fancied my friend. And then he said, are you Florence Given? And I said, yes. And he said, I've read your book, Women Don't Are You Pretty. It changed my life and it inspired me to start a charity for women to help them get home safe if they can't afford a taxi home at the end of the night out. And it's just made my entire, honestly, made my entire, not just day, but probably month. And he told me more about the charity and stuff. And it basically, he set up the charity after what happened with Sarah Everard to ensure that women can get home safe even if they can't afford it. And it, yeah, I thought it was fucking amazing. So that was my last reminder that humans are good. Okay, on to the next question. What are your feelings on other women that don't think sexism exists? I don't have thoughts on the women. I have thoughts on probably just a lot of the stuff that's led them to that place. They're either in a really, really, really deep place of still wanting to please men and be seen as one of the good girls, you know, like one of the, oh my God, this feminist bullshit, it just doesn't even affect me. Yes, it does. It does affect you. Of course it does. It affects literally every single woman on the planet. And lots of things can either alleviate that sexism, like making a lot of money can alleviate women from certain types of sexism. Being white can alleviate women from certain types of sexism. There are all of these kinds of things that can alleviate that pressure. But every single woman on this planet does experience some form of sexism, even by the fact that we can't, what I was just saying about this guy with the, you know, the taxis home, we can't even fucking walk home safe. I think that they're probably still in a place of either they just don't understand it, right? Because they're so privileged that they don't think they've experienced a lot of stuff, or there's just some kind of, you know, maybe their parents talk about it in this way. Their parents are conservative. I just think, honestly, just have a lot of compassion for her. Try to see the person as like an old version of yourself that didn't want to understand about sexism, and try to drip feed them with some information. Okay, on to the next question. What's the best book you've ever read? I won't say it's the best book I've ever read, but Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, I read it recently on holiday by Taylor Jenkins Reid, and it made me want to be a better writer. As soon as I read it, I was so fucking inspired. It just made me... it made me realise how, in the best way possible, how far I can go with my own writing, and it just inspired me. Anytime I see a brilliant woman doing something that I want to do, it just inspires me so much and just made me want to be a better writer. And anything that I read that makes me feel that way is incredible to me, and it moved me a lot. Okay, next question. What are your favourite queer fiction novels? So I recently read Rainbow Milk, Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo again, and also Bad Dyke. Bad Dyke is probably the book that gave me the push, the permission slip to write Girl Crush, my new novel, because it was so witty, so funny, and so sexy and a bit dark. And it was delivered in a way that I was like, fuck, I want to make someone feel how I feel reading this book. And I'd never read anything that was funny and gay and sexy and a little bit dark. So yeah, Bad Dyke is a really good one. Okay, next question. How do you get 100% confident about your body? I think it's impossible. I think it's impossible. Someone else might say something different, whatever. But I think it's impossible. I'm not 100% confident in my body. I don't think that's possible. But what we can aim for is acceptance. Acceptance. And then you can move into loving. Just start with acceptance. Start with even fucking liking yourself. You know, the mountain of 100% confident right being right at the top. But start at the bottom. Start off by thinking, God, my hands are amazing because they help me eat. My hands are amazing because I can type on my laptop. My hands wrote a book. You know, starting off with those things about looking at your body as a functional thing rather than an ornament again. Okay, next question. What's your favorite thing to do in the sun? My favorite thing to do in the sun, have sex. Have sex in the sun, kiss in the sun, drink in the sun. Yeah. Fucking in the sun. Okay, next question. Hi, Floss. Do you have any advice on sleeping with your fellow queer best friend? We've recently admitted that we're into each other, but of course concerned about ruining our friendship. What if I can't perform in bed and the sex is terrible? Well, I guess the beauty of like the fear of performing with your friend in bed is that you're besties. So it might just be funny. And also funny sex is so good. My only thing here is that one of you could catch feelings and that is what would ruin the friendship. So a tip would be to discuss it. And don't think that that's too formal. It's not too formal. It will make the entire experience a lot more enjoyable if you have a conversation about it. And even talk about the potential of catching feelings. Like, do you think this will ruin the friendship because one of us will get hurt? Have a conversation about it. I think that the sex will be a lot easier, perhaps, because, you know, if you want to get better at sex and your friend is a willing participant and both of you have the same end goal, and you're not afraid of ruining the friendship, then, you know, go for it. Do what you want. Okay, next question. What's your favorite aspect of yourself? Probably my ability to learn from all the things that happened to me in my life. I never let anything get wasted. It's all It can all, in my opinion, be alchemized to teach myself and then passed on as wisdom to teach other people. And that's kind of how I view the cycle of my life. And I never really thought about that until I look back in hindsight, you know, as you're moving, you don't make the points and put them together. But when I look retrospectively over my life at, you know, 23, I'm not very old, but when I look back at the pattern, it's always been that I have gone through things, acquired the wisdom, and found a way to pass it on to other people, whether that's through writing books, whether that's through making art, whether that's through doing the podcast. I always want to pass something on.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Do you ever wonder how celebrities order food? Like, is Sarah Paulson a Diet Coke or a regular Coke girlie?
Some peasant Coke? No.
Or how does Sofia Vergara order a pizza?
No, no tomatoes. I cannot eat tomatoes.
Yes. Are you killed mushrooms?
Not really.
Okay. If these are the details you need, and I know you do, I have the podcast for you. I'm Jesse Tyler Ferguson, and on my podcast, Dinners on Me, I take some notable friends of mine out to dinners in Los Angeles and New York City. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
That thing was delicious.
Okay, on to the next question. What are some realistic alternatives to working full-time in an office job? I'm suffering but need the money and a new lifestyle. Realistic alternatives. I think everything's realistic. It depends what you want to do. Do you want to do something creative? Full-time office job. Okay, I have some friends who are in marketing. They fucking love that. I have some friends who work at a magazine assisting and they've just, you know, they're getting promoted and doing all of this cool stuff all the time. Depends what you want to do. It's a very vague question. Realistic alternatives. Do you want to start a business? Do you want to create a product and then scale it? Like, there are so many things that you could do. I think the best advice is to have multiple income streams. So you could keep your full time in an office job if that's what you're doing and then try to start something on the side. And I know that sounds ridiculous and you know, your precious hours, as soon as you get home from an office job, you only have about 4 or 5 hours before you're going to sleep to then prepare for the next day. And it's just on and on and on again. And then you're living for the weekends. But if you do want to do something, you will need to carve out time in your day, even if it's just an hour, to improve. Honestly, sometimes just like listening to podcasts, listening to business podcasts to get you inspired, to get you thinking about different things can inspire you to think about what kind of options you could have. But if it's the office style job that you want to avoid, there are so many jobs in the creative industry that might set your soul on fire a lot more than being in an office. Okay, next question. I'm desperate to tell my best friend I want to be with her, but don't want to scare her off. What do I do? So you either need to like die with this crush and move on, and I'm not saying that in an easy way, or you have to tell them because it will be an enormous regret, but you could also just continue living your life, set some physical boundaries with the friend, and then you might move on and realize that you didn't love that friend. But also the feelings could be reciprocal. I think you need to vibe check. You maybe need to bring it up conversationally. You could say, look, I'm feeling a bit confused about our friendship. I'm having these feelings. Do you feel the same? Or is this, you know, and sometimes it can be really humbling to have someone say, no, I don't feel the same. I just like cuddling you because I thought you were my best friend. And then you can move on and grieve and then renegotiate the friendship, which is that, yes, it is a friendship and that you're not going to fuck and you're not going to be together. So I think when you tell people the truth about how you feel, that's where you get your answers. Okay, next question. Where are your fave places to shop? You're a fashion icon. Thank you so much. I do a lot of online shopping. I do a lot of vintage shopping, eBay pieces. A lot of my pieces are recycled pieces that I've had for a while. Some of them I've been gifted on photo shoots. I'm wearing a pair of M&S mum shorts right now. M&S, would you fucking believe, have the best denim. I wear these almost every day. I have two pairs. I have one pair in black, one pair in denim. And I'm also wearing this bodysuit that I've had for 2 years. I can't even remember where it's from. But I like to rotate the same kind of pieces. You have like a fashion formula. And then once you have that formula, it works and I don't really break it. Yeah, so get a good fashion formula for your wardrobe. For me, it's like oversized blazers, long shorts, cowboy boots. Okay, next question. How do you structure your book when writing? Do you write chapter by chapter? Yes, but for Girl Crush, I actually started on chapter 4, which was at the time was chapter 3, but then I added a bonus chapter in. So I started on chapter 4 because the idea of writing on page 1 and looking at the mountain of writing the novel and, oh my God, this is the first sentence anyone's going to fucking read, was way too intimidating for me. So I actually started in the drama, in the action, on chapter 4. I wrote out and planned the skeleton of the book initially, and I wrote from chapters 1 to 21. It's actually ended up being about 30 chapters in Girl Crush. And then I just went and wrote the scenes. None of it was planned. None of the dialogue was planned. Just what happened in the scene, a brief sentence or two about, okay, in this scene, Arthur has sex. Okay, in this scene, Arthur goes to the gay bar. In this scene, Arthur logs online. And what does she see? I don't know. I just wrote the scenes as they happened. And then it allowed the plot to flow and become what the story needed to be and allow the characters to be true to themselves as well. I thought that was really helpful. Okay, what's your favourite non-fiction book? Immediately, The Beauty Myth. The Beauty Myth by Naomi Wolf. Okay, next question. What do you prefer, battered or crumbed onion rings? You know what's so funny? This question gets asked every single time I do a Q&A. Battered or crumbed? Battered. Battered, yep. Next question. Hi, Floss, do you have any tips on how to process being ghosted? Oh, yes. Okay. So the processing, it's almost like it like a ghost. You kind of grieve it. You grieve the dead a little bit. So you go through all the 5 stages of grief, including bargaining. You make up all these kind of excuses and reasons for why they're doing it. Oh, maybe they have an avoidant attachment style. Maybe they like me so much that they're just avoiding me. No, they're not. And also, it doesn't matter if someone is avoiding you, because what are they doing? They're still avoiding you. It does not change the outcome. If someone is avoiding you in an early stage of a relationship, if you have sex with someone and then they ghost you, is that someone who can communicate healthily in a relationship with you if that's where you want it to progress to? No. And also, that's not to say that the bargaining stage is relevant. You are going to make up all of these reasons. You are going to sift through your DMs. You're going to look at every single message and wonder what went wrong. Most people will do that. If it wasn't a mutual ghosting, you wanted it to go somewhere. That's the other thing as well. Sometimes it can be a mutual ghost, but typically it sounds like you're talking about a ghosting where it wasn't nice. I fucking hate it. It's like a slow, painful death of the connection. And talk to your friends about it, but don't talk about it too much. Don't give too much energy to someone who is, you know, in terms of your dating life, dead. Next question. How do you deal with imposter syndrome? I don't. And actually, when I say how do I deal with it, and I mean I don't deal with it. I get it a lot. I get it frequently. I still don't know how I'm doing all the things I'm doing at the age I'm doing, especially because I'm reminded of it all the time and everyone always asks me, how are you doing this at your age? I'm like, I don't know. It's just the way I am. And also everyone's always looking for some kind of like special ingredient or secret so that they can apply it to their own life. And I think that while tips are really helpful and useful, every single person's path is unique. So when it comes to how do I deal with imposter syndrome, I recently listened to a podcast with Jay Shetty where he was talking about imposter syndrome. And he said that if he's not feeling imposter syndrome, it means he's not growing. And actually that applies to me. I'm constantly feeling like an imposter when it comes to imposter syndrome. Like, oh my God, how am I doing this? Oh my God, I'm just too big for my boots. What am I doing? Publishing a book, blah, 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 blah. You get all of these voices in your head. And actually, if you have imposter syndrome, it just means you're growing. So if I didn't feel that, it would mean that I was being complacent and it means that I'm just kind of playing it safe and I don't really want to live a life that plays it safe. So I actually learning to shift my perspective on, yep, sometimes you're doing challenging things and challenging things is good for you. Next question. How do you not care what people think of your armpit hair? How can I be more comfortable with my body hair? I get this question a lot. People love talking about my body hair. I grew out my armpit hair maybe 4 years ago and I just started doing it. And do you know what? I've never had a negative comment from someone offline. You get loads online, obviously, but I've never had anyone say anything. My sexual partners have never minded it. In fact, women I've dated have started growing their armpit hair out from dating me with armpit hair. I've not been with a man for a while, but no man has ever like said anything to me on the street or anything. People look because people look, right? And it's still a bit shocking to some people, but honestly, people don't stare that much. Okay, next question. What do you consider settling is in a relationship? So obviously when we say settling, we don't mean settle down and be happy and be a bit more grounded and put your roots down into something. When I talk about on my Instagram or in my books about not settling for less than you deserve, that means tolerating a level of behavior that you wouldn't even want for your fucking friends. So when someone is just, have you ever been in a situation where someone is just okay? Like they're not bad, they're not particularly exciting, but they're just okay. And it actually feels a bit, you feel bad about even ending things with them because, oh, they're such a good person, right? Right, right, right. And you're almost like justifying and rationalizing to yourself why you should be with this person because they're not bad. That to me is settling. Settling could also be being with a person who doesn't reply to your text for days at a time, even though that's something that you really need. Settling, it depends what you want, right? It depends what you want from a relationship. I think everyone's standards are different, but there is the base level of respect that you get in a relationship. I've had some incredible dating experiences that have changed my perspective entirely on dating and have elevated my standard to a level I didn't even think possible. And I think that sometimes it takes either witnessing or experiencing something like that to solidify the standard you have in your head. But I don't think you can ever have standards too much, you know. That's not entirely true. You can have some people who use their standards as a way to avoid connection because they're afraid of getting hurt. Yeah, I think what even would be an inappropriate standard? I'm not sure because you are the gatekeeper to your life and your time and your pussy and everything else. So I can't really even think of a standard that's inappropriate. If that's the rules for you, that's the rules for you. But I think, let's say you meet someone who's amazing and incredible, but they're not texting you enough. You could communicate that to them. You could say, okay, you're really great with physical affection, but I actually like words. I like words. They make me feel happy. I want you to write me this. I would actually like to try, instead of being so physical, writing each other poetry. You can communicate this stuff to people. Yeah. Okay, next question. How do you feel about fans approaching you in public? Depends on the context. You know, I don't like people taking pictures of me without my consent. That freaks me out. You know, just being in public and then seeing someone angling their camera towards me doesn't feel very good. But in terms of people saying hey and stuff, it makes my fucking day when people come up and say, I loved your book, I love your podcast, whatever. I recently had a really nice interaction with a girl who was listening to my podcast as I was walking past her and she pulled out her earphones and showed me. That was really lovely. It's so rewarding to see that there are real life people interacting with my work. That always makes me feel really happy. But yeah, no pictures without my consent, please. And also don't interrupt me if I'm kissing someone. Oh, what a pleasure it's been to answer your questions this week. I know I always say it, but thank you for listening and getting in touch. Can't wait to chat next week. Bye.